either. It's baffling to me.
Well, Jim Rutherford is a GM who's really, he's not afraid to shake up the roster a little bit. Do you think that, I mean, obviously it's late in the season right now, or it's early in the season right now. What you have a problem is a lot of teams aren't willing to deal for trades right now, but do you think he tries to go with that youth movement? They got a lot of young talent down in Albany with the River Rats. Do you think he tries to deal away a Ray Whitney? He tries to deal away maybe a guy like Joe Corvo, deal away a guy maybe like Chad LaRose?
I think he's in a very interesting spot because, you know, if you look at this roster and you look what they did last year, there still has to be some feeling in the back of the head of management that if they can turn this thing around, they'll turn it around in a big way. And there's still some championship caliber to this team. And the real issue with the Hurricanes right now is if you do upgrade positions, if you do trade for youth, it's going to have to be some significant pieces you're moving out. I mean, you're not trading Rod Brind'Amour and getting back a premium young player.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it'd have to be a guy like Ray Whitney. It'd have to be, you know, someone of that caliber that is going to really change the makeup of your team in a significant way. And I just don't know if they're prepared to do that. The coaching thing's interesting, though, because obviously, you know, from an outside perspective, the one change that everybody thinks could possibly be made would be to kick Maurice upstairs and give the team over to Ronnie Francis. But I don't know how feasible that is.
Well, I tell you, the one thing that stands out to me, and I think this is true in all teams, you look to the best teams in the NHL right now. You look to the Penguins, you look to the Capitals in the East as well. They have star players, and their star players are performing. Right now, I know Eric Staal just got injured over the weekend, but he's been abysmal during the year. I feel like if Eric Staal gets his act together, the rest of the team will come along with him.
It does trickle down from the top. I mean, if teams aren't afraid of your top line, what are they going to be afraid of, right? And the fact of the matter is that guy's got, you know, 3 goals in 13 games.
It's embarrassing.
And he's playing to a -5. And you know, I tend to agree with people that maybe there's a little bit more, you know, an injury that goes beyond the injury he's out with right now. But I mean, they got to get him back, and he's got to get rolling. And he's got that sort of weird thing that Ovechkin has where they say he's going to be week to week. I can't remember the last time we've had 2-star players that are week to week. I mean, to me, it's like the polite way of saying a month is now saying week to week in the NHL. It's strange.
Well, to you right now, what is the biggest surprise team in the NHL? It can be as far as standings or just overall record or play. Who is the most impressive team to you so far?
It's all topsy-turvy, especially in the Western Conference. You know, tonight we've got Phoenix playing Colorado, and I don't think anybody thought that would be a game-of-the-night candidate back in September.
And, Greg, can I ask you this real quick? It seems to me, how bad did Gretzky screw up in Phoenix now that he leaves and all of a sudden they're a winning team?
Well, luckily we're not on the radio in Canada. So
we're in Carolina. It's okay.
We can speak frankly about how lousy a coach he was, and none of those apologists will come out and try to smack us around for saying it. He was an awful coach.
Yeah.
And he's been an awful coach. And you know, I'm one of the writers that slammed him for it. I think anybody who, you know, for the last several years has been trying to learn on the job and become a better coach and only has the job because he's a part owner and he's a hockey celebrity, it's just garbage. And you see what happens when you get a real hockey guy in there, or I should say a real hockey coach. I mean, obviously Gretzky's a real hockey guy. But you get a real hockey coach in there who's able to kind of give the team some structure, give them some systems, figure out a thing or two. They play really well in front of the goalie, and they're contending. And maybe if they keep contending, they'll get more people at that game than are in the, you know, the waiting room at the DMV on the weekend to watch the team. You know, it's sad to see the state of affairs in Phoenix right now because of everything that happened with the ownership thing in the summer, where they're getting $5,000 a night now for games. It's such a tragedy out there.
And I know you were writing during the summer. You seemed quite open to the idea of Jim Basile taking over that franchise. Obviously, Gary Bettman in the NHL wanted something completely different. Do you think that the NHL should go back to Canada and get involved in these markets like Hamilton, maybe get back to Winnipeg, other great hockey markets that they've succeeded in before?
Well, I wasn't really a fan of Basile and the way he went about trying to get this team. I'm a fan of him getting a team eventually. I think that in this instance, he was doing things that might have been very damaging to the NHL and to a lot of other sports, using the courts to try to take over a team. But the one thing I think he was able to prove without a shadow of a doubt is the fact that there is a strong, strong desire for another franchise in Southern Ontario. And I think that there should be, if the NHL does decide to expand, another team there. And you know what? You know, relocation is always going to be an option. I think that Phoenix deserves a chance to maybe thrive under new ownership, and then if it doesn't, maybe they become portable. You know, you have other teams that are facing some financial hardships. I think relocation is always the last option, but I you know, Balsillie clearly showed through his Pied Piperism with the Canadian hockey fans that there's a desire to have another team up there, and I think the NHL's attention has been piqued.
Well, with Pittsburgh off to another hot start, and you kind of see Detroit just mediocre right now, does Pittsburgh have a shot to repeat, and are they kind of coming about maybe as a new dynasty? I mean, they have a young core, and, you know, Sid the Kid seems to be the face of that franchise right now.
I think what they've done at the start of the season is nothing short of remarkable. It really is a story that probably hasn't necessarily gotten the attention that it should. I mean, the fact that you have a Stanley Cup champion that's 12-3 right now and, you know, 7-0 on the road and missing Malkin and missing Gonchar. I mean, they've done this stretch at the beginning of the season through adversity. It's been really wonderful to watch. As far as repeating, I can't bet against them. I mean, they've been to the finals twice in a row now. I don't think they'll go a third time, but they're clearly a team that's really well-built, and Bylsma is the perfect coach for this group. And as long as you have Crosby and Malkin and now Fleury playing at the top of their games, they're going to be a contender. I'm blown away by how good they are at the start of the season.
Greg, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, talk some hockey. We always love to talk some hockey. And from one Jersey boy to another, go Devils, because obviously I can't root for the Canes the rest of the year. It's not going to be pretty.
Well,
you got bandwagon fans now.
Yeah, if there's anything the Devils have proven throughout their history in New Jersey is that the bandwagon is always open.
That's right. Jersey's team. That's the motto, right?
You know it best.
That's right. Come to the Newark celebration when they win the cup and bring your flak jacket.
That's exactly right. Greg, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
All right. Greg Wyshynski, creator, editor of Puck Daddy on Yahoo Sports, one of the greatest sports blogs in general, best hockey blog on the internet, keeping things rolling. We got a jam-packed show tonight. We're going to head on over to the practice field. Brett Irvin of your Appalachian State Mountaineers just got done a huge game this weekend coming up against Chattanooga to try and preserve that undefeated record heading into a game against Elon 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from this past weekend. Brett, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
How was practice out there tonight?
Getting a little chilly. It's gonna be because of cold, and it's about to hit us though. Cold weather, so we're gonna have to start getting a little warmer now.
I was out there yesterday, and I tell you what, Coach Elliott was obviously, he's always fired up, but he seemed to have, he'd take it to another level last night. Things were getting a little chippy out there. Are you guys really just trying to push yourselves and make sure you don't hit that wall as you move towards the end of the season?
Yes, sir. I think that's part of it. We started off a little slow at practice yesterday, and I think he just didn't want us to get complacent where we are right now, and want to put a little more intensity in practice. I mean, we've had it, not that we hadn't had it, but, you know, he just wanted to make sure everybody knows that not to take Chattanooga lightly and that, you know, we got a long season ahead of us, and, you know, not to get our heads big yet because, I mean, you know, we won five straight, but we got a tough road ahead, so.
Well, Coach Elliott's known as one of the toughest, if not the toughest coach around. A lot of players have different opinions on that. What is your opinion on that? Is he the toughest, and how does that help you guys in not only playing in games but also getting yourself prepared mentally?
Coach Elliott, I mean, you can't say enough about him. He's a great coach, and I'd say he's one of the toughest, you know, and best in the country. I mean, I wouldn't rather play for another coach, and you know, he's going to make you. He's going to put some fire in your butt when you play. If you're not going to slack off for him, you're going to give it all you got because that man's going to give it all he's got. So, you know, he's definitely. I'd give him credit for probably one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, if not the best. But yeah, there's not a day he's not intense, and that's a good thing for us.
Brett, I tell you what, you play a position that's not necessarily very glamorous at any level of the sport, but when you're protecting a guy out there in Armani Edwards, who's a Walter Payton Award winner, he's definitely the favorite to win it again this year. There's a lot of talk of Heisman candidacy right now going on with the way he's been playing the past few months. When he has success, do you guys share in that success?
Yes, sir, definitely. Armani, you know, he gives us a lot of credit because, I mean, we give him a lot of protection, and he knows that. He's got a lot of confidence in us, and you know, he can do his thing looking down field and pass because he's confident in us. And when, you know, when we score and win, we know we might not get all the glory, but we know ourselves, you know, that we're, you know, one of the main parts of that. And me and Armani got a good relationship, too. We come from the same state. We both played in the Shrine Bowl together and, you know, came from the same area. So that's a neat thing we got going for us, too, right now. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome playing for a quarterback like that.
What is the camaraderie like, the kind of the unity along the offensive line? Because offensive lines, they have to be able to gel. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of like a machine. You have to have everything there to be able to get everything going, and you can't just have just one piece, or, you know, if anything's out of order, it's going to mess everything up. So what's the camaraderie like on that offensive line? Because I know a lot of times the offensive line likes to joke around and gets along pretty well.
Yeah, we're probably you know, tightest knit group on the team, and everything. We eat on Thursday night together, Wednesday night. We do everything together. When we go out and hang out, we're together. And I think that carries over to the field because we got that trust and confidence in each other that, you know, the man beside you going to do his job. So definitely got the strongest bond on the team, and I think everybody knows that, sees that. And, you know, we got great relationships with Gary on, you know, so not only on the field but off the field.
Brett, how much of your success as an individual and as a unit is reliant upon more of an attitude, not necessarily just your physical skills, but just going out there and saying, you know what, I'm going to take this guy off his blocks, I'm going to run him down the field, I'm going to get to the next level, and we're just going to march down the field and nobody's stopping us. How much is that is key to what you guys do?
I mean, that's the biggest part of what we're doing, you know, the spread offense. You got to, you know, trust that guy's going to take, you know, your right guard or left guard is going to take your man when you pass him off so you can get upfield at the backer. That's, you know, and that's that trust again that we have built in with each other. And Coach Ellis put in some intensity. I think that plays a big role in that, you know, doing what you said right there.
Well, Brett, what's one thing people don't know about offensive linemen that could be something, a ritual or anything about kind of how they get along? And what's one thing that the normal fan does not know about you?
I don't know. That everything we do is together, maybe. We go out to eat on every Thursday night, and if we need to fight, we'll probably fight together. But about me, besides football, hunting, what I love, and that's what I'm going to try to do after college, try to get on a TV show hunting. So.
Not a bad goal right there. Brett, another question for you real quickly as we're winding this up. We'll let you go. I want to know, you know, Coco was injured yesterday. They're saying most likely done for the rest of the season. As a team, when you have an injury, do you acknowledge it? Do you guys get together and say, look, somebody's got to step up, somebody's got to fill in his place? Or do you guys just keep on trucking and really just kind of put it out of sight and out of mind?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened yesterday. We, you know, we were down on opposite ends of the field, and then somebody came and told us, you know, when we were going to the next drill, that Coco just, you know, tore his knee up, and we was like, dang, you know, that's a bad thing. But some people were talking about it. We was just like, hey, y'all need to quit talking about it. You know, we got to play, do our thing. And somebody will step up. Don't worry about that. You know, we're fine because we got, you know, 60 other players on the team that can step up in that position. I mean, Coco's having a heck of a year, but, you know, we got somebody behind him that can do just as good and step up. So that's what we're looking for.
Well, thank you, Brett. We want to thank you again for calling in, talking a little ASU sports with us. Good luck this Saturday against Chattanooga. Let's hope that we can take it to the Mocs.
All right, we will. Appreciate it, man.
All right, see you, Brett. Brett right. Irvin, center for your Appalachian State Mountaineers. And I tell you what, those guys out there, they don't get enough credit, but especially when you look at what Armani's done, and I give Armani all the credit because he is so humble in everything that he does. And Brett is right. He always, the first thing out of his mouth is, you know what, I owe all my credit to the offensive line. They gave me the protection. He talked about that play that was on SportsCenter. It was the number two play of the week. The first thing out of his mouth was, ah, that play wouldn't have happened if the offensive line didn't block for me. And he's exactly right. I mean, as athletic as he is, if he had a Swiss cheese offensive line out there, he still wouldn't be anywhere near as effective.
And you know what? You see with different quarterbacks that some of them can kind of get a big head, and they think it is all about them, and that, you know, it doesn't matter who's out there blocking for me. I'm the one that's making the plays. And you know what? You really could think that. You could take that attitude because you're the one, you're not the offensive line that's on SportsCenter. You're the one that's racking up all those records. But Armani takes the right approach. That's the humble approach. And I think that offensive line knows that. They respond, and they know when they do something wrong, they miss a block, they give up a big sack or something, they personally feel bad about it because they want to make sure they protect that man back there.
And I tell you what, the offensive line, real quickly, as we're up against the break on this, the offensive line to me are one of the two craziest positions in all sports. One is the goalie in hockey, because as a goalie, you just got to be nuts to stand there while guys are coming at you, firing pucks at you. The offensive line, those guys are usually kind of off. If you see, especially NFL offensive linemen, you see them, there's something not right about those guys. There's something mentally and physically about them that just, they're a little bit different from the rest of the crowd. And they're not, like you said, they're not getting all that recognition, and they're okay with it.
Well, as opposed to people that usually like to, I mean, usually if you're thinking football, you're thinking hockey, you're thinking people hitting people, but the offensive line, they're the ones getting hit. They have to get back. They have to get ready to kind of be basically bull rushed by the defensive line and anybody else that's blitzing. So they have to have a different mindset from everybody else and be able to withstand that and then also give a push back and kind of lead the charge.
And the irony in all of that, a lot of times the offensive linemen, the nicest guys on the team. It's hard to believe. They're real sensitive. They're emotional. They're in touch with themselves. It's hard to believe.
And Brett seemed like a really good down to earth type of guy.
He just wants to go hunt. That's all he wants.
You know what? I think that's probably the way the whole offensive line is. I think that's why they get along so well. Like you said, I mean, just because they're on the team or just because they might have mandatory workouts or eating together, you see, they go above and beyond that. They hang out on Wednesday nights. They eat on Thursday nights. That's something good to see. And like I said, that adds to that gel, that camaraderie among the offensive line, which is very important at that position.
We got to take a break. When we get back, we got tons more action. Joining us later on in the show of the Sporting News, sportingnewstoday.com, Mike DeCourcy. We're going to be talking some college hoops. College basketball season's here, Brandon. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I mean, it seemed like just yesterday football season began, and now college basketball season's beginning.
We'll get caught up with that. Major League Baseball World Series Game 6 is tonight. We'll get caught up with that as well. Also, some NFL action. Monday Night Football on Monday. Great game. I think the Saints are beatable. We'll get into that. More sports out the wazoo coming up next right here. It's 90.5 WASU online, WASURocks.com.
I'm Tim Tomboy.